This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a story about a spelling bee where there are no spoken words. We'll get a forecast for the weekend as well with our forecaster, Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Governor Rob Blagojevich has now agreed to release millions of dollars in state money he had been withholding from agriculture agencies. Blagojevich spokeswoman Abby Ottenhoff said yesterday the governor agreed to release the money after state senators complained about layoffs at the University of Illinois Extension and, among other things, the effect on 4-H youth programs. Despite word that they may get that state money, agriculture programs are going forward with layoffs. Amanda Vinicky explains.
The University of Illinois Extension, 4-H, and Soil, Water, and Conservation Districts have been struggling. Governor Rob Blagojevich has withheld millions of dollars the programs receive from the state every year. That's already prompted the Lawrence County Conservation Office to close, with others following close behind. Blagojevich recently sent word that he will now release some, if not all, of the money, but that'll take time. And Sally Neff says it's too late for her. Neff says the Lawrence County office had to borrow $30,000 from a bank.
And the directors feel they cannot borrow anymore, even to bring us back, if the money's released. Once the money is in the bank, we can go back to our jobs.
Nearly 40 employees from the U of I Extension have also been laid off. Some legislators have chastised the Chicago governor for playing political games with farmers' livelihoods and with others who depend on the services. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
There will be no measure on the November ballot on recalling Illinois elected officials. State senators yesterday failed by 3 votes to approve the proposed constitutional amendment. The 19 no votes, all from Senate Democrats, were enough to scuttle the proposal for the fall. Senator Mike Ferrix of Champaign was one of 12 Democrats to vote in favor of recall, despite the vocal opposition of the party's Senate leadership.
I think because I heard from a lot of my constituents who wanted this, I didn't think it was necessarily a good thing for state government, but I thought it was a good idea to let the public decide. I don't think that we should make decisions on our Constitution based on one individual, no matter how upset we are with that individual. That being said, I think that played a large, our governor played a large role in why my constituents called me and asked me to allow them to have the vote on recall.
All Republican senators voted for the recall amendment. The failed vote spares Governor Blagojevich a public hot seat amid growing voter frustration with state government. Illinois lawmakers are in line to get pay raises this year, and Senate President Emil Jones says they deserve it. Jones won't say if he'll let lawmakers vote on whether to reject the proposed raises. Unless legislators formally reject the money, the raises take effect automatically. A 10% pay hike went through last year. Defense attorneys for Tony Rezko will take shots at the credibility of the person who may be the government's last witness in their fraud case against Rezko. Robert Wildebor reports.
Aliotta told jurors yesterday that he paid Rezko $125,000 to get a state job. Otta painted a picture of Rezko as an insider who had the power and influence to pull off the scheme he's accused of. When he'd go to Rezko's office, Otta says he'd often bump into other state workers lined up waiting to get their marching orders, and people who didn't follow orders would be fired. Otta also testified that Rezko knew that the way he was doing business was illegal. Otta said Rezko wouldn't talk business on the phone and hired a company to sweep his office for bugs. Rezko also allegedly warned Otta not to cooperate with FBI investigators, saying those who did would be dealt with. Otta says Rezko told him of a plan to remove U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald and replace him with someone who would eventually drop the investigation. Defense attorneys are arguing that Otta is a liar who is saying all of this just to get a lighter sentence for his own crimes. I'm Robert Wildebor.
A monthly measurement of the Illinois economy has fallen for the second straight month. The University of Illinois Flash Index reached 102.8 in April. Any number above 100 means the economy is growing. Economist and index author Fred Gertz says that fits with Wednesday's national figures that showed a very weak amount of economic growth in the first 3 months of this year.
The state of Illinois is also moving slowly, but it seems like a little bit better than the national economy at this point, but still much slower than it was a year ago. So they both indicate the economy is clearly slowing down and maybe headed for recession, but not yet in a recession.
Gertz says in April, Illinois saw growth in income and sales tax receipts over last year, but corporate tax receipts were down by 5%. Earthquake researchers warn that not enough is being done to protect the Midwest from future quake disasters. Amr El-Nashai is the head of the Mid-America Earthquake Center at the University of Illinois. He says the recent earthquake that was felt from Wisconsin to Florida indicates that a catastrophic tremor is possible in the Midwest. El-Nashai believes such a quake could cause 10 times more damage than Hurricanes Katrina and Rita combined. And he says more money is needed to study the special conditions posed by Midwest earthquakes.
Our earthquakes in the Midwest, they behave in a very different way, and they produce very different ground-shaking intensities. On the other hand, the buildings also and the bridges are of very different nature because they are not designed for earthquake activity as are the buildings and bridges in the West Coast.
El-Nashai says without understanding Midwest earthquakes, no effective measures can be taken to secure buildings here to create response plans. He says currently, researchers only have 5 to 10% of the money they need to properly study Midwest earthquakes. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There's a contest in Illinois each year to find the best speller, but in this particular competition, no words are spoken. Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley takes us to a finger spelling bee.
13-year-old Kaylee Bateman is a clear and confident speller. She's the reigning state champion, after all, but that's little comfort today for her mother, Sarah Johnson.
I'll be glad when this is over. She does it at school. They have them go to school early, and then she comes home and she does it until bedtime, and she wakes up doing them.
Kaylee is a student at the Illinois School for the Deaf in Jacksonville. She's competing in the Illinois Deaf and Hard of Hearing Commission's annual statewide finger spelling bee. A finger spelling bee is much like a verbal spelling bee. Students are given the sign for a word. For instance, the word vehicle is signed how one would turn a steering wheel. The students must repeat the sign and then fingerspell each individual letter that makes up the word. The finger spelling bee also has rules for the audience. June Prusak with the Chicago Hearing Society warns the crowd not to give the participants any hints. She speaks through an interpreter.
You all have to be very quiet, even though you know, sit on your hands and zip your lip.
Students are allowed to practice the word behind their back before they unveil their final spelling to the judges. In the 5th and 6th grade category, Jesse Cobb of Jefferson Elementary in Charleston is no rookie. He placed 5th last year and says he's upped his practice regimen. It's paying off as quickly the pool of competitors dwindles to 2. When his rival trips up on the word concern, it's up to Jesse to spell the final word to win it all.
Character.
And with that, Jesse is the 5th and 6th grade state finger spelling bee champion. Jesse's principal, Mary Garradini, ducks out of the auditorium into a hallway to call those back home about Jesse's big win.
We've never had a state champion winner in anything, and this will really be exciting, not only for the students in our program, but all of special ed and all of Jefferson School. I mean, speaks very highly for everyone. He's the first one, so he's the leader.
Della Cobb is Jesse's mom. She says he loves spelling and basketball. He was born profoundly deaf, but can read lips. He placed 2nd in his school's spelling bee for hearing students, only missing the word because he couldn't lip read that the word was past tense. She says that can be tricky in this competition as well.
He's a pretty cool and calm kid most of the time. You know, he doesn't take that kind of stuff. I think I was a lot more nervous than he was.
But Jesse says that's not all true.
I was shaking.
As far as winning a $50 savings bond, Jesse has another incentive for winning.
Well, I'm glad that Mr. Turner can buy me some lunch on Monday.
Ryan Croak is one of the judges. Ryan can hear, but both of his parents are deaf. Croak says the showdown between Jesse and the second place winner was enthralling, ending when the runner-up got caught up on a tense.
No question about it. That was a heartbreaker because the tenses are sometimes more difficult to convey in sign language than they are in written or spoken English. So, yes, this is subject to perhaps more controversy and more excitement than your average spelling bee.
It's now up to the veterans of the spelling bee to take the stage. In the 7th and 8th grade category, it comes down to 2. And looking a little more nervous at this point is Kaylee Bateman.
Ariel.
Hold on. That was a misspelling. Your turn. You have to spell the same word.
Ariel.
Kaylee spells it with ease and gets her final word.
Neon.
Okay, very good. Congratulations. Wow.
All of the spellers take the stage to receive a medal of participation. The winners get a shiny trophy. John Miller, director of the Illinois Deaf and Hard of Hearing Commission, says the state tournament is just a start. He wants to see a national fingerspelling bee so the winners today can go on to compete against the nation's toughest competition. He speaks through an interpreter.
Some states are very interested to see how we're doing this, and they're asking questions, and so hopefully it will become a national event.
There can be struggles living in a world without sound, but for the kids today, the life lesson is about confidence and competition, and their experience came out loud and clear. I'm Jenna Dooley.
A couple of strong thunderstorms passed through east central Illinois this morning, and the chance of severe weather continues through today, according to forecaster Mike Sola. It'll be mostly cloudy across the two-state area with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Strong to severe storms are likely this afternoon, primarily in central and southern sections of Illinois and Indiana. The highs today will range from near 70 in northwest Illinois to 78 in southeast Indiana. The high today in Champaign-Urbana, 73. Tonight, cloudy with rain and thunderstorms. Strong to severe storms are likely during the evening. Lows from 45 in northwest Illinois to near 60 in southeast Indiana, 50 degrees in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy. In Illinois, scattered showers diminishing in coverage during the afternoon, while in Indiana, showers and thunderstorms are likely early, then showers likely and perhaps a few thunderstorms in the afternoon. And tomorrow's high a bit cooler, ranging from 52 in northwest Illinois to 72 in southern Indiana. The high in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow only 60, with a sunny day in the forecast for Sunday and a high of 63. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.